Okay, now let's be honest. How many of you are like Lucy? I am horrible. Whatever someone else has is about what I what I want. Let me see now if I can get off of Lucy. But contentment, I don't know if this is in your notes. Contentment, a definition is being satisfied. Satisfied or showing satisfaction with one's possession, status, or situation. Satisfied or showing satisfaction with one's possessions, status, or situation. A Christian should be satisfied with what God has made the object of his faith, which is Jesus Christ. I liked this statement that I read. Contentment does not depend on what we have. It depends on who we are. It is a spiritual attainment. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And hopefully all of us, this is something that we are learning. And the Bible says that he knew we were going to have to learn it. We weren't just going to automatically be that way. So here's just a few things that I think could help each of us to have contentment in our own lives. Number one is to practice thankfulness. It is extremely difficult to be discontent when I am actively thankful. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Practicing thankfulness for what we have and how good God has been to us will definitely cure discontentment. When I am in those seasons of life or modes where I'm discontent, I'm not being thankful. I mean, you can't be doing both at the very same time. When I'm expressing my thankfulness, when I'm practicing thankfulness, I'm content with what God has done in my life and what he's giving me. And we have to think about that. I've heard our pastor say, thankfulness is thankfulness. When we think of what we truly deserve and how extra good God has been to each of us, we will be thankful. But how can we practice thankfulness? One way you can do it is write down your blessings. Even Mrs. Wilkerson talked about having that journal that you write things in. But just having where you write down your blessings, and when you kind of get in that grumbly Eeyore mood, you can look at how good God has been, and it will remind you to get your eyes off whatever you're grumbling about and be thankful for what you do have. When we pray, we should tell the Lord what we're thankful for that day. What's something that day that I'm thankful for? Maybe it's the fact you were able to walk and get out of bed that morning, for having health, for had a bed that you just slept in, for having food to eat, clothes on our bodies. There's a lot that we can be thankful for. I read, a lot of you have probably heard of Pinterest. Some of us get some good ideas out of there. I mainly like the recipes, but there was one and it caught my attention because it said, 15 ways to help have grateful children. Now, who doesn't want more grateful children? So that spiked my curiosity. Oh, what can I do? But one of it, they called it like a window of blessing. And so I kind of adopted my own little thing, but we have little sticky notes that are in a basket on the dining room table. And at any time, any one of us writes something that we're thankful for that day, and we stick it on a window. It might not be the prettiest thing when you come visit my home, but you know what? It means a lot to our family. And they've wrote silly things on there. They've wrote, you know, more serious things on there. Sometimes when people come over, they write on there and stick it up on the window too. And that's just something that's in front of my eyes. It's in front of their eyes, of things that we are thankful for and not to be grumbling and complaining. We also keep thank you notes in that basket on the table so that any moment when I wanted to try to encourage my kids, when there's someone to want to thank, that you just sit right down. Everything's right there in that basket. And my oldest daughter, who's 13, she's been writing. I mean, it's kind of convicting to me. She's a better letter writer than I am, and she's been thanking different people in her life. Telling others something they've done that's been a blessing is a way to practice thankfulness through a card, an email, a text, in person. Just be in your life daily practicing thankfulness as an exercise. A way that we can practice thankfulness is acknowledging God. Remember what He has done for you. Remember who He is. You know, in the Bible, He told the Israelites, that after He brought them out of Egypt, He said to keep a Passover as a memorial so they would remember. He knows how easy we forget. And don't we forget? Sometimes we hold on to those not so good things and we forget all the really good things. So whatever you have to do to keep in front of your eyes, maybe, to help you to remember, do that. And the Bible even had them, you know, make a pillar of stone so that when their kids came by and said, "What does this pillar mean?" you could say, "This is something God did for us and for our family." And I hope you do that with yourself, but with your children, and tell them of great things that God has done for you and for your family and even in their lives. Number two, a way that we can help have contentment is to quit comparing. I think this is a big one for women, if you're like me. But 2 Corinthians 10:12, we've already heard this verse actually this morning, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And I think I would probably be safe to say that at one time or another, each of us have compared ourselves with someone else. Maybe it's wanting to be like someone else. I mean, there's ladies in our church that I thought, if only I could be like them, or if, you know, only I could be the mother that they are. Oh, what a great mother they seem to be, or a great wife, or, oh, look at how talented, if I just had those talents. Sometimes it's a possession. We wish we could dress like they dress, or we wish that we had that nice car, or we wish our house was like that, and we're comparing. And the Bible says that's not wise. He doesn't beat around the bush. He comes out and says it very clear. It's not healthy for us to compare. If we're comparing with others, rest assured that we're not doing the first point, which is practicing thankfulness, because instead of being thankful for what we do have, we're wishing for what someone else has. Now, can we learn from each other? Is there things that maybe you can teach me and I could teach you? You know, definitely. But as far as wishing I was someone else, wishing I had what someone else has, that's not wise. It may be material possessions. It could be relationships. I've heard, you know, sometimes a wife might say, if my husband was like hers, then, you know, life would be so much better. And that's just not godly and it's not wise. Or to want someone's status, like, oh, she get recognized all the time and I never get recognized. And the Bible says, you know what, you're bringing that discontent in your own life, and really you're bringing it on yourself. So Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. We read this verse already, but look at the next phrase. And be content with such things as ye have. So what do you have? What has God given you? I don't think any of you can look at me, and I know I can't look at you and say, God hasn't given me anything. The fact that we're here today, God has given us some things. And so be thankful for what you do have. What is it that He's given you? Be thankful for that. Number three, to practice contentment, is trust God. The Father knows best. Don't we sometimes tell that to our kids? You know, they don't always trust us or think we have their best in mind, and we say, just trust me, I have your best in mind. Well, I think our Heavenly Father kind of looks at us and says, sweetheart, you know, just trust me, I have the best in mind for you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And I am so thankful that I don't have to lean on to my own understanding. Now, that would cause discontent in my life if I just had to, like, figure it all out myself. But the Bible says to trust Him with all your heart. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Jeremiah 29:11. And I have used this verse many times. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's a beautiful verse. And if you're facing something even right now you don't understand, why is this happening? I hope you'd put that verse somewhere that you could see. And that his thoughts are above us, but he knows exactly what's going on, and he does want us to have peace in our lives. And he knows the end from the beginning. All we can see is what's happening right now, but he has the vantage point of to see the whole thing. When we're not satisfied with our lot in life, we evidence that we're not trusting our Heavenly Father, because he gave us the life that we have. If we truly believe that God knows best, we won't complain about what we don't have or what we wish we had, because we're trusting him with that. We won't wish, like, kind of like he made a mistake and didn't give us the talents that someone else has. We'll trust him that he made me who I am. He gave me my strengths. He gave me my abilities. He gave me whatever spiritual gifts it is. And I just need to trust him because he knows what's best. And if you believe that, if you trust and believe that God knows best, our pastor has also said this a lot. Beliefs determine behavior. If I believe something, it's going to affect the way I behave, the way I act. So if I believe that God knows, I think we'd all say it. I know you all would. You'd all say, oh yes, God knows best. Well, then we go complain about something. So our actions didn't really match up with what we're saying we believe. When you truly believe something, it will affect the way you behave. In my own life, a thing that just was hit me on this was a time in our life where we really wanted another child, and it wasn't happening. And now if you would ask me, do you trust God? Do you believe that if he wants you to have a child, you'll have one? And I would have been like, yes. And but on the other hand, I was like, my word, the gap is getting so much bigger, and we're going to be like two separate families. And my actions weren't showing that I believed in God. And obviously he wanted me to trust him. And I kept giving that to the Lord. And 8 and a half years down the road, he blessed us. We were able to adopt a little boy. Now, if I would have gotten pregnant when I thought I would have known best, we wouldn't have Grant today. And our lives would be very different. And we're so thankful. So now that I'm on the other side, I can see, wow, God knows best. And I'm so glad he didn't let me get pregnant right then, because I'm so thankful that we have Grant. And even my girls who prayed for a brother or a baby, they recognize as an 8-year-old. Mama, God, my little 8-year-old at that time said, God knows best. I'm so thankful because I wanted you to get pregnant. And if we would have, we wouldn't have gotten Grant. And she even recognized in her own way that God's timing was best and his ways were best. So whatever it is that you may be going through and you don't think it's exactly what you wanted, you're discontent with maybe how long it's taking, or that it's not happening, or it's a long waiting period, just trust God, because he really has something great coming. And be content, though. Don't mess up this time by wishing for something and you kind of lose this part of your life and it's coming later. So trust your Father. Number 4 is to watch out for expectations. I think whether we admit it consciously or not, we do go into life with expectations of how we think our life's going to go and how we think our relationships are going to be. But sometimes when we have those expectations, it does cause a lot of discontent because it doesn't always go the way that we thought it would. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Wow. Okay, you're all dressed today. I think we all ate something today. That's all it's supposed to take right there for us to be content. Anything beyond that is just added blessings, to be honest. Sometimes this is what we tell a young lady at her bridal shower, even around here. You know, we we say, watch out for your expectations, because unmet expectations, you know, a new bride, I know me, I went into that thinking, oh, we'll be together all the time. I can't wait to be married. We don't have to say goodbye at the dorm anymore. And, you know, we get to go home together. And I was so excited. Well, I don't know what I was thinking. Of course, he's going to go to work every day. We're not going to be together all the time. And he's going to be busy. And I kind of had these, really, to be honest, unrealistic expectations. And I was really disappointed. And that can cause discontentment in our life, because we're like, this isn't how I thought it would go. And that's because we built that up in our own lives. So when we have expectations, we will be disappointed. Sometimes we think, oh, our husband's going to help with the kids all the time and be right there for us. And he's going to come home at a certain time every day, and we're going to have dinner on the table. And then that doesn't happen, and we're disappointed. Or he's just going to always be so sweet and loving and romantic, and he's not. And we think, oh, our kids are going to be, they're going to obey our every command, and they're going to smile while they do it. We get these expectations, and then it doesn't go that way, and we're disappointed. We might think here at church that we're just, you know, no one's ever going to sit in my chair. They know it's my chair. And they're never going to take our parking place, or they're always going to bring us a meal when we're sick. They're just going to know that, you know, we have a migraine right now, and someone's going to ring the bell with food. The school's going to think our kid is the sweetest and most talented and beautiful, and pick them, you know, for the solo. And, you know, that's just not true. And sometimes, now, none of us, I doubt, would say a list like that and act like that, but in our heart, we do kind of have some of those expectations. And then it doesn't happen, and we're really upset and disappointed and discontent. So watch out, kind of evaluate yourself. When you're feeling that a little bit, a little discontented in your heart, kind of evaluate. Have I been having some expectations? Be honest with yourself. Why am I disappointed right now with this situation or in my relationship with my husband? Have I been having maybe some unrealistic expectations? And I love the saying, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. When we go into something and we don't expect anything, well, guess what? When something does happen, whoa, we're so thankful because we didn't expect it. So try to every day evaluate that and don't have those expectations. You know, even in the Bible, James and John, the disciples, had expectations. They wanted to sit on the right hand and the left hand of God, and they even asked him for that. And so check out your own expectations and have that gratitude in your heart because you're not expecting things. Number five is to fulfill your purpose. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 18, I'm going to read this little passage to you. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So let's remember that God has made us a certain way, and we want to fulfill the purpose for which we've made. When I'm fulfilling the God-given roles that he's given me, there's contentment in my life. When I'm focused on, I wish I was more like her and I want to fulfill her part in the body, then I'm going to be discontent. Fulfill your purpose. And I put your in all caps because it's yours, not someone else's. I found in my own life that when I'm doing those things that God wants me to do, there is great peace and contentment. Now, on the other hand, when I'm distant from God, I'm not spending time with him, Maybe I have a sin in my life, something that's weighing me down, or maybe I'm just being lazy, or I'm not serving Him by serving others. That's when I lose my peace and there's discontent in my soul. So think of your priorities in life. How many of you in here are saved? Okay, I hope that's all of you. If not, please come see me afterward. That's the most important decision you can make. So you're a Christian. Okay, that is a role in your life. So as a Christian, are you spending time with your Heavenly Father every day? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you praying? Are you talking to Him? How many of you in here are married? Okay, so for those of you that raise your hand, you're a wife. That's a role that you have in your life. How are you? Are you being a wife to your husband? Are you fulfilling that role? How many of you have children? Okay, so that's a role that God has given you in your life as a mom. How are you fulfilling your purpose with that? How many of you in here are a sister, a friend, an aunt, a grandma? We've all have God-given roles, and sometimes it's good if we write those out, and then what are we doing with those roles that God's given us? Sometimes in my own life, or I've met others, they are discontent, they're kind of, but they're not fulfilling those roles in their life. They're wanting something else, but they're not focused on the responsibilities that God has given them. Try not to measure up to someone else. Just fulfill the purpose that God has given you. And when you're faithfully fulfilling your God-called purpose in life, you know what? Naturally, by design, there is peace and contentment that come with it. It doesn't mean that things are perfect. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties, but there's a clear conscience coming that you're knowing you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Contentment is an inner sense of rest and peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. Sometimes when I'm having a day and I'm kind of, I haven't even spent time with the Lord that day. I could have the same kind of day the next day, the same circumstances, my kids could behave the same, my husband, it could be the same kind of a day, but I spent time with the Lord that morning and everything, somehow it's different. I handle it different, I have joy, that discontent isn't there because I spent time with Him. So make sure you're fulfilling your purpose in life. Number 6 to cure discontentment is to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Ladies, we lose our contentment when we're filled with worry and fear. The best way to win that battle is through prayer. Every time you feel that worry and fear creeping in, I hope we hit our knees and we start praying. When something's robbing your joy and peace, pray, pray, pray. When something's keeping you up at night, pray. God knows that we will worry, and that's why He addressed it in the Bible many different times. And here in this verse, He says, "Be careful for nothing." That means not to be filled with care or worry. And then He gives us an alternative in that verse. Instead of being filled with worry, He says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, sometimes when something doesn't go right, we run to plan A and plan B, and we try to figure and strategize. And sometimes God's given us some of that as a mom. You know, you figure some things out and help your kids along. But when we have something that comes in our life like that, our plan A should be to go right to God with it. Instead of getting all frazzled, whether it's the checkbook and, this bill is due, they're going to turn it off at this date and there's nothing left in there, and we start like trying to figure out where could we grab from, what good friend do we have to hit up, or instead of hitting those things and start strategizing, run to God and pray about it. Guess what? He already has a solution. So go to Him and ask Him instead of being filled with that fear and worry. Number 7 is to be surrendered. God reserves His very best for those who leave the choice to Him. Sometimes we kind of have our own plan and what we want for our life, but we really need to be surrendered to the Lord and leave that choice of what we're going to have in our life to Him. Psalm 37:4-5, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Are you completely surrendered to God in every area of your life? Are you still holding on to wishing you had something that he just hasn't given you? Be surrendered to him. His way is so much better. I know in our own minds, because I'm there, you feel like what you're wanting is the best. You know, I mean, you think that that is what would be perfect, but whatever it is that he has, it's so much better than what you, and I mean, I have experienced that in my own life. I'm sure many of you have when you look back, but yet the next time we start thinking, this is so perfect. But stay surrendered to the Lord. Instead of wanting what we have in our mind that would be so great and perfect, how about living out those verses? Let God give you your desires and commit your way to him. When we are surrendered to him and his ways, we will be content with his choice for our life. It's when we try to get what we want, and then we say, oh, Lord, bless this. but we never let him choose for us. That's when we live with discontentment. Another statement I read is, contentment is a state of the heart. Being a Christian, which you guys raised your hand for, and being a child of God is a great reason to be content. You know, we might not understand on this side why some things happen. I can't tell you why maybe certain things in your life have happened. But you just leave that to the Lord and know that nothing is a mistake that he does. Nothing is, whoops, that slipped by me. It's all for a reason and a purpose. And just I encourage each of us to trust him for whatever it is. Heaven is the place for understanding. Earth is the place for trust. When we get up to heaven, guess what? We're going to all understand it then. But right now, while we're on this earth, we just need to trust our Heavenly Father and be thankful. I hope you'll practice thankfulness. Be thankful for whatever it is that you do have and just trust him with everything else. The verse that we started with, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I hope each of us will continue to be students with that, and that we'll continue to learn to be content. And if you find yourself starting to complain or grumble, I hope maybe you'll keep some verses up that you'll turn to and look to and be thankful to the Lord for what you have.